We will be talking today with two local recycling businesses and the Colorado Green Business Network. It's going to be a great day to learn about the CGBN and how a couple of local Colorado Springs businesses are being intentional, pursuing sustainability in their operations.
This is a Studio 809 podcast. Engage.
Welcome to Peak Environment, the Pikes Peak Region's podcast about environmental stewardship. This episode features the Sustainability in Progress speaker program, presented by the Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future.
Welcome to Sustainability in Progress for May 2026. We are podcasting in studio at the Next Us with Studio 809 Podcasts recording the SIP for an episode of Peak Environment. I am Mary Barber, your host for today. I'm a seasoned environmental compliance and management and sustainability professional. I'm currently a board member for Peak Alliance, a community nonprofit with the mission of promoting sustainability and resilience in the Pikes Peak region. A little more on this later. I'm joined by Dave Gardner with Studio 809, Andy O'Reilly with Colorado Industrial Recycling, Brian Valentine with ITAD Electronics Recyclers, and Conrad Schlerbaum with the Colorado Green Business Network, and I'll sometimes say CGBN for that, so thanks. Dave manages a collective of Colorado Springs podcasters and is executive director of the nonprofit organization Growthbusters. Dave is recording our conversation. We are grateful, Dave. Thank you. About Peak Alliance, we're a small, local 501c3. Our mission is to promote regional sustainability and advance the regional plan, looking to our future Pikes Peak Region 2030. Also referred to as PPR 2030, the plan was finalized in 2012 after about a two-year effort, and we ended up with 10 stretch goals for the region. The goals addressed local conditions with regard to environment, economy, society, and individual well-being, and in a manner to meet current needs without compromising future needs. Awareness, outreach, and sharing knowledge and ideas are key to understanding the premise and promise of sustainability, which is why we conduct these SIPs. Our topic today relates to several goals in the PPR 2030 framework, most notably materials management and procurement and economic development. To learn more about the goals and the regional sustainability framework, you can access our website at peakallianceco.org. Okay, let's sort through our trash and find out more about recycling some items you can't put in your curbside cart and which you might have cluttering your home or business because you just don't know what to do with them. Okay, let's start with the basics. Andy, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Colorado Industrial Recycling.
Colorado Industrial Recycling is a family-owned metal recycler. We do all different types of metal as well as automotive recycling. And our owners, Dave and Mike Koskov, their family's been doing metal recycling in Colorado Springs going back at least four generations. So I think since 1911. Dave, our owner, his joke is that he was conceived on a forklift. Long ties to the community, and definitely we see ourselves as really being all about serving the community. And my background backed into recycling and backed into sustainability. I started out life working for a disability service agency and was doing employment services for folks with cognitive disabilities and stumbled upon the fact that recycling is a very good job creator. There's a lot that goes into recycling, a lot that is required to be able to process material, get back to a state where ultimately it can be repurposed. And a lot of the sorting, disassembly, the functions of that process marry very well for folks with different cognitive disabilities, especially autism. And back in 2008, I got involved in the formation of what ultimately became Blue Star Recyclers. That was an e-waste recycler that used recycling as a way to employ people with autism. And then about 9 years into that process, I transitioned over to work with Dave and Mike Koskov, just as really an avenue to take that triple bottom line kind of social enterprise kind of approach to a very traditional kind of family-owned for-profit business.
So the family's seen a lot of changes over the years being here since.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their Blake grandfather had an old 1907 International. The flame of it is all wood. It looks like a Model T. And they used to transport that up to Denver with all the scrap metal that they were collecting. Yeah. And it took about 4 days to get up to Denver. So, yeah, they've seen a lot.
No doubt. Yeah. Probably dirt roads. Trails.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Recycling is part of a sustainability program. It helps companies and individuals remove their waste from the waste stream, and it's reprocessed and made into other things. So with what you're doing there, how did you integrate sustainability into doing a sustainability business?
I think that if you're not walking the talk, then you're negating any positive impacts that you're having for your business. And I think with the legacy that the Costco family has in the community, we have plans of being in the community for decades. And sustainability to me is really about acting with integrity, recognizing that we all have impacts, both positive and negative. And there's a lot in our society, a lot in our existing economic model that is about disassociating ourselves from those impacts. And ultimately, people are thinking short. They're thinking about the next quarterly earnings reports, and that leads to a lot of shortcuts, and it leads to compromising when it comes to, you know, regulatory obligations and what you owe the community. And for us, we have to think long term because we have a reputation to maintain, but also a legacy to move forward. And Dave and Mike are not what you would associate with culturally with sustainability. On the weekends, they shoot guns and they work on muscle cars, but they do recognize that you can't take shortcuts if you're in it for the long haul. And you have an obligation to really think about how you're using your resources as a business. Think about how you're maintaining your processes. And when things don't go well, when you're making mistakes, how do you understand why you made those mistakes and learn from them and move forward with them? And do so in a transparent way. You don't end up in the news, but voluntarily going, hey, we have a lot to learn. And we're going to take each opportunity to understand the negative impacts that we have and look for those ways of making them better. And that's what sustainability is about.
That's awesome. So I understand you're involved with the Colorado Green Business Network. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am, yeah. My involvement goes back quite a ways. So before the CGBN took shape, there was a program through the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment called the Environmental Leadership Program. And it had a similar model in the sense that it was about recognizing businesses that kind of go above and beyond when it comes to sustainability. And I started out when I was with Blue Star working with the VLP, and it was something that was absolutely integral to my professional development. I didn't come from a sustainability background. I didn't know much about sustainability. And with Blue Star, all of us were figuring it out on the fly. And one of the job responsibilities I took on very early on was, okay, you're going to be in charge of all of our environmental health and safety. And I didn't know the first thing about that. I had always been in disability services. And when we connected with the ELP, the magical thing that happened was it connected us to all of these businesses that were much more mature when it came to best practices when it comes to sustainability. And the director of the ELP, Lynette Myers, she was very good at matching people. And when it came time for me to do things like, okay, let's put together an environmental management system, and I'm Googling what the hell is an environmental management system, I was able to reach out to Lynette, and she immediately gave me the numbers of five or six businesses that had full-time professional sustainability people that were willing to take us in. We were part of a shared club, and there was a culture that, you know, anything that you could do to help the next person was going to ultimately move the needle and get us further down the line when it came to becoming just more sustainable as a state, more sustainable as a country. And I had some fantastic mentors that Lynette connected me with that sat down. They looked at my first attempts at an EMS, and we're like, sorry, Andy, that's not an EMS, so know what the hell you're doing. And, you know, literally walked me through how to go about this. And again, from that start and being able to avoid so many mistakes by that shared knowledge, I've literally felt indebted to literally pay that forward. And so as the ELP evolved and eventually it was reconstituted as the CGBN, I was part of the initial stakeholder meetings, helping to come up with the application process, helping interview our current executive director, and really trying to do what I could to make sure the legacy that helped me along the way wasn't lost. I do think when it comes to environmentalism and sustainability, what we're up against, the challenges that we have are so substantial, none of us can be proprietary about what works and what doesn't. And again, the culture that was established through the ELP and that we're moving forward with the CGBN is all about that concept that we need to help each other. We need to learn from each other. If we can figure out a way of reducing our impacts, if we're not allowing other people to share in that knowledge, then all of us are going to fail because we all pay the consequences of these negative environmental impacts.
In your operations and when you're working with your partners, are you telling them about the CGBN and trying to share that part of what you do?
Absolutely. And I think that Southern Colorado does have a long ways to go. And anytime that you do make changes in the transformation from the ELP to the CGBN, there's a lot of rebranding changes to the application process. There were some organizations that didn't come along. And with the ELP, there were 6 or 7 businesses in Colorado Springs, a few in Pueblo that fell off. And so I do think that the next step in the development for the CGBN is to literally circle back around and reach out to some of those former members of the ELP and try to figure out where they fell and see what we can do to get them back up to speed. And I don't think it's because they suddenly stopped caring about sustainability or they had some terrible environmental incident. I think it's we all have limited bandwidth. And for some reason, they lost momentum on being able to do this in that shared capacity of a network like the CGBN. And I think it's important. I think if we can get out in front of them and really be open to their feedback and open to figuring out how we can make it easier for people to get more involved, I think we'll get them back.
Okay, thanks. Let's turn to Brian and tell us how you became involved in ITAD Electronics Recycling and what you do there.
So my name is Brian Valentine, obviously, and I'm our business-to-business account manager. I got laid off. I was in a defense contractor for 20-plus years. Our company got bought, then I got laid off, and then I was readdressing, do I really want to be in the corporate world anymore? What some things that I could do to have a better impact on things that I'm passionate about. And I saw IER had an ad. I went and we hit it off. I come from a compliance background already. They had done their R2 certification, which is responsible recycling. It's a compliance framework within the industry. Right now, we're the only ones in town as a recycler with that designation. It has good value and it shows our commitment, our cultural commitment to sustainability and how we approach it. We approach it from the day-to-day operations. We're a warehouse, so what can we do? We can do the lights thing and we can do a few things, but we're not a big consumer of things because we're more working in a warehouse type of aspect. And so I just really liked what they were doing. I really liked the owners, Sean and Colin, their co-owners. So I've been doing this for about a year now. And I've got a lot to learn, as Andy demonstrates. So
there might be some people out there that aren't aware that they should be recycling their electronics. Could you talk about that a little bit?
From a compliance perspective, right, you got your federal, international, all the way down rules and laws about this. And mostly because, as human beings, we try to do the easy thing. And so when it comes right down to it, you can't be throwing your phone or your laptop in your garbage can. From a business perspective, it's not good for our environment. And so, of course, then we have laws and it trickles on down to us as individuals. We need to think about those things.
They have some hazardous materials in there, like
absolutely
metals and things like that we don't want in our regular municipal landfills. So you guys provide an easy way for people to...
Think of us as an ingress into a system. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we bring in the materials. We're focused on a lot of more business type oriented thing, but we do serve households, right? We have drop off, that sort of thing. We do facilitate drives. We have the Denver 7 drive. We're going to Salida this weekend. You'll see us around those types of community drives as well. But think of it, we bring whatever we can process in our facility. One of our bigger aspect to our business is refurbish and reuse. And then we take what we can't process because we do not have sorters and the means to take care of those hazardous materials. We work with other R2 compliant. That's part of our certification. They have to be R2 so that they're tracking things and things are done securely. So all that is done with our partners. We've got a big processing center out in Nebraska that we ship to. They have those capabilities and facilities. So think of us as that ingress point for here local Colorado, but primarily down here in Colorado, Southern Colorado.
Some people and businesses might be a little concerned about bringing you a computer with a hard drive and personal mm-hmm. information or business information on there.
Yes.
Is there a way that you handle that? Or
absolutely. Our R2 certification, right, which we're audited every year, by the way, by a third party. And so that's our commitment to the safety and security. So those hard drives and things, they are, when we bring them in, when we process them in, all the serial numbers and everything, all that is tracked through the destruction process. We have destruction capabilities on site. We have it's a truck-mounted system, and we can crush or destroy to National Security Agency guidance and NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology guidance on how that needs to be destroyed. So those are the highest levels of destruction capability that you can have. If it is being shipped to another facility, that is also tracked, so where they can do the actual wiping and that sort of thing that would be required. Anything that has data is functionally processed separately and in a higher standard than any regular item.
So does it cost for me to have something taken in by you?
Yes. So we do. Typically, it's $6 to $8 a hard drive for destruction. We do bring in a lot of material. Say you're a household, we typically do a drop-off scenario where it's $10 a carload. Some items we have to pay more money to get to the right processors, and because of their costs, things like CRTs, those have a cost to them, things like that. But for the most part, we can bring things in. When we do the big drives, there'll be a certain amount for the carload, and then they come through in a line and they drop all their stuff off and we're loading it into trucks and then bring it back for processing and things like that.
You do those around the region here?
We do.
Those drives?
We do.
And about how often do you do those?
I think right now doing about 6 a year, and that everywhere from right outside of Vail, I think it's Minton, if I said that correctly. And then, like I said, we're going to be down in Buena Vista and Salida this weekend. We're the prime for the Denver 7, so that's a huge one. About 150,000 pounds of material we get out of that. Many trailer loads. The Salida and the Buena Vista, somewhere between 10,000-15,000 pounds of material would be brought out as well.
Stuff not going into our landfills.
And that's part of our philosophy, is right. That aspect too, right?
Yeah.
Right up front, that's our goal, is keep these things, all these materials out of the landfills.
Yeah. Andy, I don't think I asked you about cost. Does it cost anything if I bring you some metal?
So one of the benefits for me going from an e-waste recycler to a scrap yard is I got out of having to charge fees. The nice thing about metal is there's enough commodity value metal to be able to buy the material from our customers. So we're going to be purchasing from 99% of all the transactions that we do based on the weight and based on the commodity value.
And in terms of metal, can I turn in a microwave?
You can. So anything that would be primarily metal-based would be things that we would take. And it goes a full gamut. We probably have 75 different purchasing categories when it comes to different blades of different non-ferrous and ferrous metals. And the nice thing about metal is you can recycle it an infinite amount of times. So you bring in a soda can, that you don't lose anything in that process. You can recover as much aluminum from that can as originally constituted. And when something like that goes into the landfill, nothing good happens. But if you can recycle it, you're avoiding all of the energy and environmental destruction that comes from mining and through the traditional manufacturing process. And if we want to avoid knocking down mountains to get metals, we need to make sure that we're recycling everything that we can.
Okay, thank you. All right, Conrad, let's turn to you. Tell us about the Colorado Green Business Network. You're a part of that. And Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Conrad Schlarbaum. I'm a green business specialist with the Colorado Green Business Network. We're a program of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. A little bit about me. I'm born and raised in Colorado. I've lived in communities all over the state, including Aurora, Greeley, Grand Junction, and Colorado Springs. I've been here for about 10 years. I have both a bachelor's and a master's degree in sustainability, so this is my passion, and I'm very grateful to be in a position where I can be a practitioner in this field and serve the state of Colorado in this way.
He's also been part of Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future.
Yeah, I should mention, I've been part of Peak Alliance for Sustainable Future, and I've also served Pikes Peak State College for 8 years, UCCS for a couple years. I consulted for the city of Manitou Springs. I supported some of the work with the city of Colorado Springs, and I've also helped with the regional sustainability plan and providing some improvements to that. So it's been a pleasure working for this community for the past 10 years in different capacities, and now with this new capacity with the Colorado Green Business Network. So for the Colorado Green Business Network, I think what listeners need to know the most is that we are a free and voluntary program. There is no cost to work with us. And we work with organizations across sectors and sizes. So you could be a small business in your basement, a one-person sole proprietorship, or you can be a multinational company with operations here in Colorado, and we would be happy to work with you. One of the challenges of this job is being able to walk into any of these spaces and be able to advise on sustainability. But fortunately, a team of seven of us have been trained well to provide that expertise. We've already done that with many businesses across Colorado. And a lot of the sustainability frameworks and principles and practices are true no matter what organization you're supporting. Everyone has waste. Everyone uses water. Everyone uses energy, fuel, and that sort of thing. And those are all areas we can advise on to help them reduce those resources and reduce that waste and avoid that waste to begin with. Some of the services we offer, technical services, kind of what I was just talking about, where we can have initial conversation about what a business's operations looks like, look at where they have the biggest impact in terms of resource or waste. And then we do a site visit where we go on site, look at their operations in person, take detailed notes, go back, write up a report that aligns their needs with the opportunities and the grants and resources that are available out there, even if it might be connecting them with another business that is an expert at waste reduction, for example. We would connect them with that if that was an opportunity for them. And then we'd follow up with a conversation with, okay, what next steps do you want to take and how can we support you in the long run? This isn't a one and done kind of thing. We're in with these businesses for as long as they'd like. As their journey matures and as they need different support, we're there for them throughout that journey. We also offer through the year different events and activities, workshops, networking opportunities. We also connect businesses to businesses, knowing that we're not the experts of their industry, and there are some that are further along than others. And so we connect them with each other so they can share best practices. It's part of being in the network. And then for those who are wanting to assess their performance in sustainability, see where they are, put a mirror up to their sustainability efforts, and tell their story. We have a recognition program, which is a comprehensive sustainability assessment, 4 surveys that businesses fill out. And they fill out as many questions are relevant to their operations. And they can earn recognition from bronze, silver to gold. And the deadline for that recognition is coming up here in June 30th. But we work with businesses and organizations throughout the year on that, on those assessments. And part of that is they make goals for what they want to do in the next couple of years. And we help them with grants and expertise to help them reach those goals. And then we have a big celebration in the fall where we celebrate both our support level businesses, which you don't have to be recognized to be in our network. You can just simply get technical assistance, or if you just want to get our monthly newsletter with all the resources that come with that, that we're fine with that as well. So whatever level of engagement a business or organization wants to get out of it, we're happy to support them and meet them where they are.
Sounds like there's a lot of entry points. How can we help get more people in the Pikes Peak region involved, or businesses, I should say?
Yeah, I think when you're patroning a business and you notice that they might be interested in sustainability, feel free to drop our name as the Colorado Green Business Network. Businesses can go on our website. On the homepage, you don't even have to scroll, and you click a button and it says register with the Colorado Green Business Network, and that's where they can go to register. It takes 5 minutes. There's a short little welcome survey that just helps us understand a little bit more about their operations and what kind of services they'd be interested in working with us on. And then we will connect with them. They'll be assigned a green business specialist. And from there, we'll just work on whatever they would have us work on from that point forward.
Brian, I'm not sure I mentioned, but your business is also involved with Colorado Green Business Network.
We are.
Yeah. Do you work with other organizations that you try to convince?
We certainly use it in our marketing material, right? Okay. Everybody's paying attention to how we are all operating.
That's a way to kind of eliminate the greenwashing, do you? Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so we just achieved bronze last year. Conrad was our green business specialist, so he made that process nice and easy for us. We did the initial application. He gave us some more recommendations, and now we're looking at what our next steps are to improve those scores for us. We're looking to do our fleet, electrify our fleet, do more work in the outer municipalities surrounding the Front Range and things like that. We do some mentorship with some smaller recyclers to ensure that they're in processing the types of things we recycle. They can do them on our behalf, and we help them make sure that they're handling those materials safely as well. But it was a good process for us, and our being a compliance-driven organization, it naturally made sense. And for us, the application was pretty straightforward due to our ISOs that we also have, too. It's a familiar layout if somebody's been in a compliance realm. It's very recognizable and broken out really well.
Conrad? Or another person then came in and took a look at what you were doing, your operations, and gave you suggestions where you could set goals or make improvements? Is that how that
worked? Absolutely, and helped us understand. Because when you're in compliance, you'll have a requirement statement. And so maybe one of the things I think we struggled with in the beginning was we feel like we're already sustainment. That's our service, right? So trying to untangle, we're talking about our facilities and our management and our internal processes versus what we're doing for the community, right? So helped us distinguish that language and make sure that we understood what they're looking for so that we could be graded appropriately.
Andy, I think you have a program and got some recognition also for your social impact.
In terms of this
employment?
We've been recognized for really utilizing our operations as a way of employing people with barriers. And so we do have individuals with autism, some disabilities, but also individuals with various other types of barriers as well. And I think part of the cost of doing business in the community should be investing in the community. We don't have a right to just take and be a vampire to the community. If we want to ultimately be supported in the Pikes Peak area, we need to show that we're going to be a good steward in how we operate, and that we're going to use the benefits of our company to benefit the community. And part of that is targeting people that maybe have been overlooked in other job settings and making our operations as inclusive as we can be and creative in how we bring people aboard and how we tap into some individuals that maybe have some untapped potential.
We had a bit of a conversation earlier about basically only two or three businesses in the Pikes Peak region are part of the Colorado Green Business Network. Have you thought of any ideas that we can help get more businesses involved?
As part of my outreach to potential clients, which span from government to local universities, school districts, things like that. I certainly have that conversation about it. One, from saying that this is part of our commitment, but two, to share that this is an opportunity for them as well. So there is a bit of that, yeah. And you're right, I'm not seeing that designation down here, Colorado Springs Central, very often at all. But yeah, we're doing our part to spread the word.
Maybe there's a need to have some sort of a social networking opportunity for businesses. What do you think?
I think absolutely. I think there's also, Conlad pointed out that there is a certain part that just as a consumer, we have an obligation to really spend our dollars in ways that facilitate what our values are. Part of the reason that we don't have a lot of participation in the network is we don't have a lot of community awareness of the network. The nice thing about what the CGBN does, especially at that recognition level, is they're doing a lot of vetting. It isn't easy to be recognized by the CGBN. You have to really bare yourself and have them really look into your energy costs, your impacts to water, air pollution. The company that's just simply greenwashing, that's claiming sustainability, they're not going to pass muster to that application process. If you as a consumer care about sustainability, you care about supporting businesses, they're not just claiming that they're helping the environment, but actually have skin in the game and are taking steps to reduce their impacts, then you should start to ask the businesses that you're supporting, why are they not members? If they are sustainable, and some of them probably are, the application process shouldn't be that difficult because they're already following best management practices. And I think once there's a pull from the consumer that, hey, this is important to me, I think you'll see businesses suddenly go, how do I attach myself to this network?
Anybody can answer this. Do you think there's a barrier in the process? It takes some person to work, right? Yeah,
it's not a free process. You're investing.
Yeah.
So someone in your organization has to be invested. And as Andy stated, you're opening up yourself to a third party into your business. A lot of business owners don't like that. I wanted to also add, very good comments there, the accountability factor that's also a part of this process. You can't just get a designation and then sidestep.
In our instance,
throw fluorescent light bulbs in the landfill, right, and be written up for it based on an audit and still have the designation that CBGN offers. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that. But I think that's part of it. I think it's a lot of it is a third party looking in your books.
And having a resource to the interaction.
Because it is a commitment.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think you did nail it. It is a big commitment. The application process is not easy. There's a lot of reporting that you have to do. And so an organization has to make a decision to allow for the time that it takes to go through that process. And the only way they're going to do that is if they see the value in it. And the value for me is being able to connect with other businesses, share best practices. But I think as an organization and as a community, we need to also elevate the marketing potential of the network. And if it's important to a consumer, then suddenly it's important for a business to invest the time to be able to go through that application process.
I would just add that the network is what you make of it. The recognition process can be more challenging if you want to extract a lot of value from it, because it'll tell you where your blind spots are in your sustainability, in your operations, where sustainability could have a great impact. But it is also an entry point. If a business just is doing a few things, they can get 25 points pretty quickly at the bronze level and have an entry point into being recognized in our network. And it's a great place to start and start to account for things, start to report on their sustainability performance. Maybe they're just focusing on our policy and leadership survey, for example, where the focus is more on the policies they have in place and some of the community work they've been doing. And maybe they're not ready to touch their more hard metrics when it comes to their utilities and waste and fuel and stuff like that. And so maybe the starting point is just what I like to say is, let's just get what you're already doing accounted for and build from that. And even if you fall short of bronze, we can still work with you to get you to bronze and then move you up the ladder from there as they invest more into their sustainability efforts and see the benefits of those efforts.
Have you been in contact with the economic development organizations in the region?
Yeah, actually, we just started. A few of my colleagues are focused on that. And we've been reaching out to different chambers of commerce and economic development offices throughout the state. And those have provided a conduit for us to get to businesses. Because one piece of it is we outreach. We go on some business's website and says, it looks like you have some sustainability efforts. You might be interested in this service. And then we cold outreach, and we don't often get a whole lot of businesses that respond to that. But when they're more likely to respond when a customer suggests it, or another business partner suggests it, or a economic development office suggests it. And so we're starting to give more presentations and have better connections with those offices and using that avenue to connect with more businesses.
So how would a business owner contact you, get in touch with you?
Go to our Colorado Green Business Network website, and we have a way that you can register their business. It takes 5 minutes just to register their business on a software program called Green Biz Tracker. If you're just interested in inquiry and just trying to figure out if it's a good fit, we have our email on there as well on the website. So you can just email, reach out to us, and we're happy to have just a basic 30-minute conversation about if this is a good fit for their business. And usually what that conversation ends up being is there's no downside to partnering with us,
no.
Meaning because we're free. We'll give you advice, you take it or leave it. If you don't think it's valuable, we're happy to wherever that relationship goes from there. And so I think that tends to be a pretty unique perspective. We're coming into someone's operations, and some business owners may not want that perspective, but the ones that do see a lot of value in it because we're coming in with this unique sustainability lens, which we're looking through things, and we're very keen on the resource use and the waste and the community outreach and that sort of thing and the community impact. And we're happy to identify the opportunities for them, and not just identify them, but connect them with resources and other businesses that have the best practices to really address those and for the business to really thrive with that information. So it's a matter of the business wanting that perspective and willing to pursue the opportunities that we tee up for them.
Yeah, I think working through economic development might be a good roadway, because we have businesses considering moving here quite often, and if they knew that program was available for them, they might be interested, especially if they are already pursuing some sustainability related goals. So I think that's a good step you're taking there.
Yeah, and I think businesses that are recognized, putting it in their signature block and on the door of their business, proudly showing that they're CGBN certified business, I think helps us get the word out there. And all it takes is, how do I get in the network? And you can connect them right to our website, and they're connected from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just because our service area is so large and we're working statewide, we really depend on our businesses and our regional partners and various other partners to help us get the word out there, because we're not this big organization with a big marketing budget that has a lot of money to put our name out there. But we're very grateful for avenues like this, Studio 809 and Peak Environment, to give us that means of reaching out to this local community.
Thank you. Anything else you wanted to mention that we might not have discussed?
You might go on our website, or you might get we have an impact report that really shows what we do as a network and what kind of impact we have across the state. You might see only a few bronze, silver, or gold logos for the Pikes Peak region, but there are far more businesses that are part of the network than what you see there. And we do have a directory that I would encourage people to go to. It's on our website, where you can actually search based on if you want a coffee shop that's in the network, if you want a recycler that's in the network, you can filter by that and connect with those businesses and patron those businesses. Mm-hmm. There are more businesses than meets the eye. A few that I would mention is Dreamcatcher Weddings, which was new to the network last year, and we got them to gold. And they're a woman-owned small business with a out-of-their-house kind of operation. And they were able to reach the highest levels of our network within the first year. Now, that's not usually the case. But when you've been doing it for as long as you've been a business and it's core to your business, then that kind of success comes with that sort of commitment. We've also worked with businesses that are just getting started. There's a few businesses that I'm working with that are just figuring it out, and we're meeting them where they are and showing them what's possible.
Great. All right. How about you, Brian?
When you said sustainment lens, it reminded me that it had us looking at all our process and procedures in a broader context from the sustainment side, and it helped us improve and become more efficient and recognize things that we probably wouldn't have without that lens. I think there was a good value add in that process.
Do you have an example you could share?
Part of the application process was reviewing what we had already done from other lenses. Now looking at it here, we could tighten up an area. We can look at it more responsibly. And I think if you have a large enough change, you'll actually improve your bottom line by looking at it from that sustainment perspective. Changing how you
more efficient,
more efficient. Less, how you use your water, how you use your, because we're not just paying the electric bill, we're paying attention to it, and how can we improve it? And that's good for everyone and us. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be the example.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Andy, how about you?
I think that's a fantastic point. When you don't have a target that you're aiming for, it's hard to really have measurable goals. And so one of the things in going through the application process, going, hey, I want to be a gold member, is you start to study for the test and start to recognize, hey, have we thought about a procurement policy? And you start to understand, based on the scoring criteria, that maybe we're not perfect. We thought we were doing very well, but there's always those opportunities to do more. And part of the process is in being able to sustain our gold membership is that we have to show that we're continuing to look for that next thing. I think without the pressure of going, okay, I have an annual report I have to do, maybe it's not as top of the mind as it otherwise would be. And I think that we talked about the cost of taking the time to do the application, but we also have to emphasize there is no cost of membership. And if you think about the value proposition of being able to access the state in a non-hostile way, to have experts sharing compliance information, helping you troubleshoot issues, and do so from a lens of, hey, they already know that you're a good actor, and they're not coming in with their guns out. They're coming in really trying to support a member. That is enormously for us, because every business has those issues that, hey, how are we going to meet this regulatory demand? And I have a lot of phone numbers I can call at the state level based on our membership that can help me figure out how to navigate that. I think the other piece is you are joining a network of businesses that have shared values. And when I'm looking for vendors, the first thing I do is I look at, okay, is there anybody in the network that I can support? Because I know that they're going to be going about things in a sustainable way. And I'm going to always prioritize doing business with other members. I think when people look at this and understand that, hey, if I just put some time into this and some effort into this, this is a gateway to start my path down sustainability, and not just a greenwashing way, but in a way that has true value, then I think people can see the value in it and people will be willing to take the plunge.
Okay. Thank you. We've heard a lot about how folks in our community can support sustainability by reducing waste, recycling, and composting. Add that in there. Supporting local businesses that pursue sustainable operations like Colorado Industrial Recycling and ITAD Electronics, and conserving energy and water, just to name a few. And of course, at least considering becoming a member of the Colorado Green Business Network. Follow our Sustainable and Resilient Pikes Peak Region Facebook group. Tell your friends and colleagues about the podcast and, of course, Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. And hopefully we'll get a lot of listeners who hear about Colorado Green Business Network and will be interested in at least looking into it. We're coming to you from the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at the Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. Also, many thanks to Pikes Peak Permaculture, a contributor to Peak Environment and PASF and community partner. Visit pikespeakpermaculture.org, where you can learn about sustainable organic living through permaculture. I'd like to especially thank our guests, Andy O'Reilly, Brian Valentine, and Conrad Schlarbaum for their participation today. And finally, thanks to our listeners. I hope that many of you will take advantage of the opportunities for recycling difficult items. And if you are a local business owner or manager, that you consider initiatives to help us meet our regional sustainability goals. Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future and Conrad with CGBN can help with that, along with Andy and Brian, our local CGBN network folks. On behalf of PASF, Pikes Peak Permaculture, The Next Us, and Studio 809 Podcast, thank you for joining us today with gratitude.
Region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.